If you would turn with me to the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, and we'll read the third verse and also verse 27. Yea, he loved the people, all his saints are in thy hand, and they that sat down at thy feet, every one shall receive of thy words. And then verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Dear congregation, in chapter 32, we have the song of Moses, in which is set forth God's mercy, but also God's justice. The song of Moses. But in chapter 33, we have the blessing of Moses, which he pronounced over the tribes. And therein, the blessing, which we have before us, each tribe named had a blessing for them. There was the song of Moses, and then we have the blessing Moses pronounced. And he would bless them before he dismissed them. Now in the introduction, Moses declared God's special regard he had for Israel. Just come with me to the third verse. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. A people were so favoured, so loved by the Lord. They'd received the word, the law at Sinai. They were loved by him and they were in his hand. We note there these words, all his saints are in thy hand. It speaks of his favour, care, protection, his power to keep them and guide them in the right way. In his hand. Now coming to verses 26 onwards, we are led to consider again the Lord and his favour towards Israel. And with this in mind, we come to verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. They were supported. As they fought of the future and the battles they would face, they could take comfort. They were carried by the Lord and they would be assisted. They were to know the comfort that underneath were the everlasting arms, and then they were to go forward. Well, we see there a people so favoured by the Lord. What comfort it is to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, tonight I'd like us to consider the third verse, and then alongside the third verse, the first half of verse 27. And first of all, the Lord enabling to consider in God's love. Secondly, in God's hand. Thirdly, in God's dwelling place. And fourthly, in God's arms. In God's love, in God's hand, in God's dwelling place, in God's arms. First of all, in God's love. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. Now we consider here with the children of Israel, a people favoured by the Lord. And we note here that they were a people at his feet. And they sat down at thy feet, every one shall receive thy words. And here in the first place, we are to consider when the children of Israel were led to Mount Sinai. They had crossed the Red Sea, and they were led to Mount Sinai. And you remember they were to go no further than the foot of the mount, while Moses went up and received the law from the Lord himself. Well, here we think particularly of this in the first light. There's the children of Israel. They're at the foot of the mount. The glory of God came down, as it were, they were at the feet of their master. They were as pupils listening to the master. And God came in a glorious way to give the law to them. A people so favoured. The apostle writing of his kinsmen, who he mourned over in Romans 9, wrote this in verse 4, "Who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory in the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises." And so we consider that at Sinai, there were the people at the foot, sitting down as it were, and the Lord, the Master, was giving the law. And they were privileged to receive the law then, but also in subsequent times they could turn again and again to the law of God. They were so favoured. Where were the other nations? All Israel were so favoured by the Lord. Well, let's come to the first half of the verse. "Yea, he loved the people. O, his saints are in thy hand." He loved the people. And we notice here that Israel was so loved and favoured by God in a special way. In Psalm 147, verses 19 and verse 20, we read this. "He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." And you see there, the psalmist made so abundantly plain that the children of Israel were a favoured nation, so favoured, so loved. Now the Lord loved other nations. We read in Deuteronomy 10, verse 18, "He doth execute the judgment of the righteous, fatherless, and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." We consider there that the other nations were loved by God. They were provided for. The sun shone, and they had food. They had clothing. But, oh, God so loved Israel in a special way. It was such a comparison. Yes, he had a love for others, but oh, how he favoured, how he loved Israel. Yea, he loved the people. Are we not reminded in the New Testament of the Father's mercy and love when our Lord set forth those words in his Sermon on the Mount, exhorting us to love our enemies, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the just. He loves others, and we're reminded of it there. But oh, how he so favours his people. Consider a people here so loved by the Lord. Yea, he loved the people. Well, let's open this up a little further tonight. We think of the chosen nation. Let's now consider the elect given to Christ. And Christ came to redeem them. The spiritual Israel. And the apostle speaks of this in Romans 9 verse 6. "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." You see, there were a number in Israel, but not all of them loved the Lord Jesus Christ. We think that the spiritual Israel, the elect, the chosen, the seed of Christ, and they are so loved by God. John Gill writes, "He bears a special love to the elect men, to the elect men in Christ." And let's come back to these words then. Yea, he loved the people. Yes, he bears a love to all, but it's particular towards the elect. It stands out. It's noted. Yea, he loved the people. And God has such a love, such a great love for the elect. In Ephesians 2 verse 4 we read, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." You know, we can think of the grace of God, so precious, so special, and that he in grace saved us. We think of the mercy of God. He's rich in mercy, and so in his rich mercy he saved us, but also because of his great love. His love so focuses on his people, so great. Yea, he loved the people. He so favoured them. He so loved them. As we think the elect, those given to Christ, they're so loved by the Lord. He has such a great love. His love is everlasting. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Such a love, an everlasting love, an eternal love. He loved them from the foundation of the world and before. And he will love his people forever. We are loved with such an everlasting love. One of old wrote, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. O this full and perfect peace, O this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. He has loved us with an everlasting love. It knew no beginning and it will know no end. His love will never cease. And as we think of his great love, his everlasting love, does it not lead us to have these thoughts, awe-inspiring thoughts of his love? He loves his people with an eternal love at this very moment. He inhabits eternity and his love inhabits eternity. And it's with this love he loves you. Now before conversion, we were the children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2. However, we were loved with an everlasting love. Oh, what love. And then consider what love was seen in the time of love when the elect are placed in the hands of Christ in a special way. What love. He drew near. He came alongside, he had his eye focused on us, and he made his approach. He saw all our sin, yet he said, thou art mine. What love. What love to pick us up. Yea, he loved the people. He had such love in his heart. Consider further the love of Jesus. What love he showed here upon earth towards his people. In love, he redeemed. He came into this world out of great love. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? Our Lord was there in the manger. He who was man, but he also who also is God. And what a love he had there in his heart. And here upon earth, he so loved his people. Though he gave his life for them. What love was shown here upon earth by Jesus. In John 15 verse 13 we read, greater love hath no man than this. Greater love hath no man. We can think of those who have sacrificed their lives in time of war. We can think of those who have sacrificed their lives so others go free. But Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this. His love surpasses, such a surpassing love. You consider the love of the husband and the love of the wife towards their spouse. It's a strong love. But you consider the love of Christ so surpassing. Yes, his love is it's so amazing. And we consider he loves men and women, but then when we focus upon his people, such love. He loves you with such a great and glorious love. What love it was that he came and gave his life for you. We think of those who in love gave their lives for king and country. But the wonder of the gospel is that the King of Kings gave his life himself. That he would redeem. Oh, what love towards his friends. You consider the love of Christ. Yea, he loved the people. We think of God, we think of Christ. How he so loves. It's so known in heaven, amongst the angels, how much, dear child of God, Jesus loves you. It's known how Jesus loves all men, but it's known how much he loves you. Oh, consider the love of Christ a little further tonight. First of all, it is real. As we think of the love of God, what do we read here? Yea, he loved the people. It was real, sincere. It was true. What love. Such a real love. We read in 1 John 4, verse 7, behold, let us love one another. For love is of God. It's part of his nature. And so when we consider God, we're to love one another. Such love is in his nature. It's so real. God is love. 1 John 4, verse 16, God the Father is love. God the Son is love. God the Holy Spirit is love. What love. Oh, consider the love of Christ. Yes, at times we grieve him. Like Peter, we grieve him as his people here upon earth. Just pause. What a wonderful place heaven will be, for there we will never grieve our Lord. Here below we grieve him, but his love does not fluctuate. You know, at times we can think of the warmth of our love, but often we're too aware of the coldness of our love. You see, our love fluctuates. Yes, it always remains. We love Jesus, but at times our love fluctuates. The love of Christ does not fluctuate. It's constant. It's always eternal. It's always rich and great. It's always real. It's true. His love is there now. Such a love. There's love in the heart of Christ. There's such love in motion at this very moment towards his people, towards you. Yea, he loved the people. If we could see into heaven, we would see the love of Jesus towards us. What a comfort it is that departed saints and angels see the love of Christ before them, and they see the love of Christ which he has towards you. Such a real love. He's loving you now. He will love you in a few moments. He will continue to love you. He will love you when you fall asleep. And I thank God he loves me when I begin to sadly wander down the path of backsliding. He so loves. Oh, to be taken more by it. And oh, to know more of the love of Christ. This real love. He's loving me now. Yea, he loved the people. It was said of the Lord. It's said of Christ. He loved the people. He had love. He really loves his people. You may be hated by many, but oh, put that to one side and take comfort. You're loved by the King. You're loved by the Saviour in a wonderful way. How do I know if Jesus loves me in such a special way? How do I know it? It's if I have believed in him. Oh, what love. It's so great. It's real. It's great. It is an excelling love. The love of the Lord. You remember those words in Ephesians chapter 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, to focus on the love of Christ. Now, do you see there? One of the purposes why Christ came to dwell in your soul is that you would know him, that you would see him with the eye of faith, and that you would behold and know his love. What a blessing. Christ came that we might know his love. And all to know the breadth of it, the height of it, the depth of it, and the length of it. To know that love which passeth knowledge. You know, if we put years on eternity, we can't. But if we'd been there for millions upon millions of years in eternity, we would have only scratched the surface of the love of Christ. But what a comfort. This great love is towards you now. We think that we'll never get to the end of the love of Christ in all eternity. But this very love, which is so great, which is so eternal, flows towards you at this very moment here upon earth. All the dimensions of the love of Christ, a passive knowledge. There's so much more to know about this universe. How small we are. How great this universe is. But all consider, there is so much more to know about the love of God, about the love of Christ. Yea, he loved the people. Such love. In God's love. And consider further as you think of God's love. He loves all his people at this very moment. You know, you can sit down and you can think of the people you love. You could write down their names. My spouse, my children, so on and so forth, my friends. And you could spend a while, couldn't you, writing down the people you love. God loves billions upon millions of his people, all at this moment. He knows everyone. So great is his love. But let's consider thirdly, it is lasting. He will always love us. In John 13, verse 1, we read, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." You just think of when he appeared in this world. He loved you. When he grew up in Nazareth, he loved you. When he went to the cross, he loved you. In his dying moments, he loved you. He loved you unto the end. And now he continues to love you. A lasting love. Yea, he loved the people and he still loves them. God still loves. Christ still loves. The love of Christ knows no end. Oh, to know more of the depths of the love of Christ. This eternal love, loved by Jesus, loved by God. Can you say this tonight? I am loved by God in a special way. I've been drawn to the Saviour. I see him as my beloved, and I know there is such a loving desire for me. The Song of Solomon, in the Song of Solomon we read, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me." Do you feel it tonight? His desire is towards you. He so loves you. In God's love. Yes, we can consider the love of God, which is seen as general, but we're thinking of that which is seen as special. How blessed we are if we're in the love of Christ tonight. In the love of God. Knowing that God himself, knowing that the Saviour himself has such a desire for you. Secondly, in God's hand. What do we read here in the third verse? Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. Sinners are in the hands of God's wrath. Amos 9, verse 2. Then shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And as one of old preached, it's a fearful thing to be in the hands of an angry God. And God is angry with the wicked every day. Oh, that men would turn. If there's someone here tonight, you're not a believer. We think of the hand of God's wrath in Amos chapter 9. Oh, that you would be delivered from that hand of wrath and find yourself in the hand of mercy. Oh, that you would turn. Sinners are in the hands of God's wrath. But as we see here, saints are in the hands of his favour. In his hand. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. In his hand to protect, to keep, to lead and provide. We think of the children of Israel how they were kept and provided for all those long years. His people were in his hand. Well, let's pause and consider in a wonderful way. God's people, the spiritual Israel, those who have believed in Jesus, are in the hands of God tonight. In the hand of God to keep and to protect. In a wonderful way, the elect were in the hand of God in eternity before this world was made. They were in the hands of the Father. And then he gave them to the Son. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. We were in the hand of the Father in eternity, and we were given to the Saviour. We were found in the hand of Christ. In a special way, an effectual calling. When faith was put within, the Lord's people, the elect, are found in the hands of Christ. In John chapter 10, verses 27 through to verse 28, we consider there the sheep in the hand of the shepherd. Yes, we could look back to eternity, but we particularly consider there in the time of love, when faith is put within, they're found in the hand of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They hear, they believe, and they're found in the hand of the shepherd. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. In eternity, placed in the hand of Jesus. And then one by one, in effectual calling, are placed in the hand of Jesus in a special way. And what did our Lord say? They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Dear child of God, you're in the hand of Jesus tonight. And it's a merciful hand. It's not a hand of anger. But it's a merciful hand, and you'll never perish. No man will be able to pluck you out of the hand of Christ. All the people of God are found in the hand of Jesus. How large are the hands of Jesus, all cared for. Matthew Henry wrote, "The shepherd is so careful of their welfare, that he has them not only within his fold and under his eye, but in his hand, interested in his special love and taken under his special, interested in his special love and taken under his special protection. All his saints are in thy hand." And dear brothers and sisters, we are in the hands of Jesus. We have an interest in his love. And he has such a care for us. In his hand, it speaks of grace, doesn't it? By nature, we would not be in his hand of favour, but we're in his hand. What grace! And we are eternally safe. Satan may do his utmost. He seeks to sift us in the sieve. He wants to get rid of the grace within. He knows he can't, but he tries. He will do his utmost to get us back, but he cannot, because we're in the hand of Jesus. There are those who throw many doubting questions towards the believer to get them dislodged, but we're in the hand of Jesus. What grace! In his hand of protection. You remember those words in Psalm 31, verse 15, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." He recognizes that his life, his times were in the hand of God, and therefore he was safe. His enemies pursued him. They sought to persecute him, to get rid of him, but he knew he was safe in the hand of God, and we are safe in the hand of God, in the hand of Christ. We're in his hand, and we're so cared for. And so we read in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for us. We're in his hand. You think of a mother who takes hold of a child and carefully rocks the child. The mother takes such care. We're in the hands of the Lord, and he so cares. It's a caring hand. He cares for us. Therefore, let us cast all our care upon him. Our concerns, our worries, let's cast it upon him. He cares for us. Such a caring hand. Such a shepherd. He will always hold us in his hand. In his hand of favour, in his kind hand, in his generous hand, he's ever giving grace, in his caring hand, in his hand. As we think of the future, take comfort. You are so loved by God, and you are in his hand. Thirdly, in God's dwelling place, let's now come to verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge. We think here of a refuge. It's translated here as refuge, the Hebrew word. It can also be translated as a habitation or a dwelling place. So let's consider very briefly, in God's dwelling place. The eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God. He who inhabits eternity at this moment. So great God is. You know those words in Isaiah? He is holy, his name is holy, and he inhabits eternity. We begin to understand what is beyond knowledge, don't we there? He inhabits eternity. Well, our dwelling place is eternal. What grace is seen here again? The eternal God is thy refuge. This great God, this great dwelling place, has given himself over to you. What grace! Thy refuge, a refuge you need. You have God, therefore you have all you need. The Lord is our dwelling place. You recall those words in Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And in the title of that psalm, we have these words, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. We thought of the song of Moses. Well, we have a praise or a prayer of Moses in Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Our dwelling place, our refuge. He is a sure dwelling place. We read here, the eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God. We do not need to doubt that. He is that sure dwelling place. And we are sheltered. We are sheltered from divine wrath. This is interesting, isn't it? We thought tonight of sinners in the hand of an angry God. Amos 9 verse 2. But oh God shelters us from his divine wrath. He's a refuge. What grace. He is holy, he hates sin, but in grace he shelters the believer from his anger. What a dwelling place, sheltered from divine wrath, sheltered in the battle, sheltered in the storm. We face a battle, do we not? You notice the context here in verse 27, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. They were in a battle, they had battles to face, the Lord was their dwelling place. We have battles. We've gone through a number. We're facing a long one with Satan and our indwelling sin. The Lord is our dwelling place, a shelter. We can go to him. When we're struggling with the devil, we can rest in the Lord. When we're struggling with sin, we can humbly go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and no strength to battle on with sin. He is that dwelling place. You just think of a dwelling place. a place, a refuge from the storm. A number of years ago, we were in Derbyshire, and it was very windy and wet, and we made our way towards Chatsworth House. And we went through the doors, and then we put our umbrellas and our coats to one side, and we handed over our tickets, our free tickets we'd been given, and we began to look around that house. And we admired the gold and certain other things, the carpets, the fine carpets, the staircase. We were drawn to look at the beautiful things that were therein. Well, think of your dwelling place. You begin to admire your dwelling place, your shelter in the storm, and you take note of grace on one wall, as it were, and mercy on another, and love behind you. You admire the dwelling place. You admire his excellencies, his power and his strength. What a habitation we have. The eternal God is thy refuge. And there in the dwelling place, we can know calm. A little earlier today, we came out of the home. Then we had to run to the cars to shelter from the rain. Oh, run to the Lord. And all of you would know calm in the dwelling place. Near to the heart of the Lord. As we battle on here below, as we walk through the wilderness, as we tread through the weary land, stay near to the Lord, near to your dwelling place. And before we come to a close tonight, consider the eternal God as thy refuge or thy dwelling place. We can go forward in the wilderness because he is our dwelling place. He moves with us. Remember the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. It went before them. The Lord goes before them. As it were, our dwelling place moves before us. And we are sheltered as we go forward. The eternal God is thy refuge, our dwelling place. We have a dwelling place. Here upon earth, all the days of our life, we have a dwelling place, a habitation. God himself. Stay near to God this week. Fourthly and finally, in God's arms, in his love, in his hand, in his dwelling place, in God's dwelling place, but here in God's arms. And it's slightly different to what we have there in the third verse. We think there that his saints are in his hand. But here we read that underneath are the everlasting arms. And what we're led to consider here is the support of God. In verse 3, we consider the protecting hand of God, the hand of favour, the caring hand, the providing hand. But here in verse 27, we consider the supporting arms. You see the difference? What else do we need? A God who holds us and supports us, and a God who cares for us, as we see in the third verse. Well, underneath are the everlasting arms. The arms speaks of God's power, does it not? So strong. Now just go back to the third verse. All his saints are in thy hand, under his care. And as we think here, all the people of God are supported by him. What strength he has. You may have tried to lift up one or two children. Particularly when they're small, you can lift up a few, can't you? But when you get older, you struggle to lift up one of them. How great God is. He has all the elect in his arms to support them. You might seek to be a support to someone, a friend. Consider God. He supports all his people. Us here in Salisbury, Holywell, many other places, Barnstable, Devizes, Cardiff, Swansea. But then around the whole world, think of all the people of God. And are we not thankful that the number here upon earth doesn't run just into the thousands, it runs into the millions. God has them all in his arms. What strong arms they are, the everlasting arms. We have many burdens. He is able to support us and all the people of God. Underneath are the everlasting arms, the everlasting arms. One will always be supported. Just think here, underneath. When you put your arms under a box, you hold the box, you bear the weight where he bears your weight. He supports you. The Father holds his children. The shepherd holds his lambs. Remember in Isaiah 40 verse 11, the lambs are in his arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The shepherd's arms are underneath you. Your heavenly Father's arms are underneath you. Your great comforter's arms are underneath you. The everlasting arms. How he supports you. How he carries you. We think that particularly here, do we not? He's carrying us. And he carries all the people of God. He upholds us with his hand. Isaiah 41 verse 10. We have a battle to face, but we're being carried. We don't walk alone. The Lord is alongside us. And in his grace, he carries us. He carries us into the battle. He carries us through the wilderness. Underneath are the everlasting arms. What arms? You can face tomorrow. You can face the valley. Because underneath are the everlasting arms. Arms of pity. Arms of grace. Arms of love. Well, as we draw to a close, let's just focus on God the Son, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His everlasting arms are underneath you. And so we read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 6, these words: his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. You see there the hands, or the arms of the Lord. One arm comes round to bring the child of God near to a shore of love. And there is the other arm, the hand to support the believer, supported, and they're carried. You think there of a husband taking hold of his wife and carrying the wife. You think of Christ, he takes hold of his bride and carries. You wives here, were you carried over the threshold after you were married? I didn't carry my wife. It was dark when we got to North Wales. And the door was short and my wife was tall. So I never carried her. But you consider your beloved. He carries you. He takes hold. He has shores of love. And he carries underneath for the everlasting arms. Christ is carrying you tonight. And he'll carry you tomorrow. And he'll carry you on your deathbed. And he carry you for all eternity. In God's arms. And it began because we were in God's love. In God's love. In God's hand. In God's dwelling place. In God's arms. We can face tomorrow. We can face eternity because we are supported and we are in the hands of God. May we know comfort in our hearts and may we stay near to God who is our dwelling place. Amen. Let us pray.